You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Just as I was listening to the notion that we do what we do because life and truth matter, I was thinking about how that could be an abstraction in the minds of people, particularly when we're asking people to support this ministry as we near the end of our fiscal year. But remember, when we're talking about this, it's not an abstraction. It's a reality. Life and truth matter. When we talk about reaching out to Jehovah's Witnesses, that can be an abstract idea. But when you think about a lady who called me and talked about her friend, a Jehovah's Witness who is in hospice, who has believed the lie that if she receives a blood transfusion, she will be compromising the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Because from her perspective, that would be equal to eating blood. And therefore, the prohibition biblically on eating animal blood from her perspective means that she can't transfuse human blood into her veins. And so these ideas have graphic consequences. A person in hospice waiting to die because they have believed a lie. And certainly you can take that one story and multiply it in all kinds of different ways. And not only so, when we talk about physical death, remember that we're not just talking about physical death, because human beings have been created in such a way that they will live forever. When a woman gives birth, she gives birth to a body-soul unity. And the non-physical aspect of humanity continues to live after hospice. And the question then becomes, will that be in the presence of God, comforted in Abraham's bosom, to use the biblical metaphor, or will it be in torment? If we believe the Bible to be the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, if we believe that Jesus is the master teacher, then we have to believe that there are two kinds of people in the world. Those who die and are separated from the goodness of God, and those who die and are forever in the presence of God, awaiting resurrection in which they will forever have immortal bodies living in an immortal, transformed universe now groaning in travail. All of that simply to say, when we ask people to support this ministry as we approach the end of our fiscal year, this is not just about keeping machinery going. This is about transforming lives. And perhaps we can stretch this out further. It's not just about transforming lives, it's about transforming culture as a result of transforming lives. In other words, this is a great enterprise. And we're asking you to stand with us in the battle for life and for truth. Standing shoulder to shoulder means standing with those who work within the walls of the Christian Research Institute, who together with those who support this ministry from without, who pray for this ministry, are making a difference around the globe. I'm looking at a Facebook post by someone in Queensland, Australia, impacted by the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We get calls from India. We get calls from China. We get calls from all over the world because the ministry literally has a global reach. So again, as we ask you to stand with us as we near the end of our fiscal year, we're talking about change in the lives of real people with real faces and real destinies. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. But we're asking you to act today, and if you can't do so today, please postmark your gift before June 30. That's the end of our fiscal year. Whatever you can do will be deeply appreciated and used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone callers. Up first, Joe, St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, hi. First of all, thank you, Hank, for all that you do. It's really helpful to all of us. Got a question about SOJO, which is part of or affiliated with Bethel Church in Redding, California. Our church is taking an interest in that, and I'm not necessarily comfortable with it. I wanted to know what you knew about it and what you could share with me, please.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great example of postmodern Christianity beckoning and Christians taking the bait. In other words, postmodern Christianity has been infiltrated by the culture. It's taken its cue from the culture. And as a result of a fascination with demons in the culture at large, this has led to a robust spiritual warfare movement within evangelicalism. And the sad thing about it, it has led towards a real unbiblical paradigm or belief structure and practice with respect to deliverance. And so I have written in my concern over this very issue a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, so that we might turn away from that which is popular in the culture and be transformed by the biblical motif for spiritual warfare, which is essentially to put on the full armor of God. If you put on the full armor of God, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. That's why we are instructed to do that very thing, so that we can stand against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and after having done everything, stand.
Yes, thank you. I see it as a hyper-spiritualism in the sense that here is somebody who's going to ask you questions and drill down into experiences and then interpret them spiritually, entirely untrained, and then speak into your life and say, thus saith the Lord, almost.
Yeah, there are a lot of very, very dangerous aspects to it, and you have just articulated very well one of them. That's good.
Thank you, Hank. I appreciate that.
You got it, Joe. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. Talk to Derek next. He's listening in Birmingham, Alabama. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question is, what is the difference between the tithe and first fruits, and are Christians required to tithe?
Well, there's a sense in which I would say yes, in that tithing had a universal application. We tithe so that we might revere or reverence the Lord our God always. So tithing in that sense is a way in which we demonstrate reverence for God. It is a way of saying I'm leaning upon the arm of God as opposed to leaning upon the arm of flesh. Obviously, both metaphors, but it is a way of saying I'm trusting God as opposed to trusting my own human resources. So it's important to give because in giving, you are demonstrating that you trust God and you are facilitating the extension of His kingdom. But the New Testament principle really goes beyond tithing. The New Testament principle is the idea that we hold everything that we have with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as He sees fit. So stewardship, Christian stewardship, means that we are not owners. We are simply conduits. We are those that God can use in terms of time and talent and treasure for the extension of his kingdom. And it's interesting, if you look at how this is understood by the giving generation, the war generation, as it is sometimes called, you recognize the incredible impact they had around the globe. They were enabled to feed the hungry through their giving, clothe the naked, care for the sick, found great centers of Christian education. Organizations like the Christian Research Institute, they made an indelible mark on not only their own generation, but on our generation as well. And so I think it's important that you have the training wheels of tithing so that you can go from that into the world of free will giving as well. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And of course, we certainly appreciate the stewardship of God's people towards the ministry of the Christian Research Institute.
Every CRI outreach, our broadcast, podcast, website resources, the Christian Research Journal, and more is made possible only because of friends like you. Your partnership matters. What kind of impact has your partnership had? An impact for time and for eternity. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up, and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. www.thenotion.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you, Randy. I was thinking this weekend while I was sitting in my office doing some work and reading some literature, catching up on a pile of books, I was thinking about some of the things that we've almost never heard about the history of racism. We hear a lot about racism today, but there's so much that we've never heard about. At least most people have never heard about. For example, how many of you know that prior to the 19th century, Christians were the most vocal opponents of slavery? You think of people like John Newton and that famous song that he wrote, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." He was once a slave owner, converted to Christianity, and became, as I just said, one of the most vocal opponents of slavery. Today you have secular progressives who are extolling the virtues of the Enlightenment, and they're denouncing Christianity as though it is a religion of racism and slavery. So they fail to give you a proper historical perspective. If you think about the Enlightenment clearly, cogently, you don't just think about social reform or scientific development or progress. What you think about is some of the main figures within the Enlightenment. They're lauded. No one wants to pull down their statues. They're lauded. They're esteemed. They're praised in academia. I'm thinking of people like Voltaire. Voltaire, who said, and it's hard to repeat what he said, but this is precisely what he did say. This again is Voltaire in the midst of the Enlightenment saying, "The Negro race is a species of men as different from ours as the breed of spaniels is from that of greyhounds. They are of a different nature, greatly inferior." That was Voltaire, who famously said, "Those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities." And he was absolutely right. His own absurdity has become an atrocity, a particularly acute atrocity in our generation. But he was not alone. David Hume, he's the oft-quoted Scottish empiricist philosopher. He was equally unenlightened in the midst of the quote-unquote Enlightenment. And he said this, again, hard to repeat. "Negroes," he said, "never discovered any symptoms of ingenuity. While one of them might at first appear erudite, in the end he is only like a parrot who speaks a few words plainly." That's David Hume. And I suppose the worst of the bunch is Darwin himself. Darwin took all of this nonsense, this Enlightenment, quote-unquote, nonsense, and he gave it a scientific moniker to operate under. He gave it a basis. Of course, Darwin famously said at no very distant date, an endless number of lower races will have been eliminated by higher civilized races throughout the world. Where is the outrage in that? And then, of course, you have his bulldog, not just his bulldog, but his knighted bulldog, Sir Thomas Huxley, who said, "No rational man cognizant of the facts believes the average Negro is the equal, still less the superior of the white man. It is simply incredible to think that he will be able to compete successfully with his bigger-brained, smaller-jawed rival in a contest that is to be carried on by thoughts and not by bites. So here you have a low-grade hypothesis that has influenced hundreds of millions of people, not the least of which was Hitler. And it has been referred to as the most powerful, comprehensive idea that has ever arisen on Earth, that we can't understand the revolution that is taking place within America yesterday, today, tomorrow, right now, apart from the Darwinian revolution. And that's not an overstatement. I mean, you think of the Black Lives Matter movement, or the moniker, or the foundation. Well, Black Lives Matter as an organization was founded by people who are trained Marxists. I don't have to prove that because I played the clip on the air with one of the co-founders saying that very thing. We are trained Marxists. Well, think about Marxism for a moment. Black Lives Matter as a movement, as an organization, is being promoted now in professional sports, but it's Marxist. Well, what's behind Marxism? Well, Marxism is based on the atheistic worldview. There is no God. And in the 21st century, as in centuries past, Darwinism is the only game in town to explain how we could have a world that is not created. So there are many things that we have not heard about racism. And I think it's high time that we talked about these things and we put the Bible in a proper category, because there have been even presidents, including Barack Obama, who have bullied the Bible, have said all kinds of bad things about the Bible, including that the Bible teaches such things as racism. The truth of the matter is, with the Enlightenment lauded by Barack Obama, it suddenly became enlightened to drop references to African emperors and kings and queens and princes, and instead begin to refer to them as mere tribal leaders. Why? Because evolutionary racism demoted Africans to a subhuman species. Again, hard to say, but demoted them to apes devoid of souls. So they had to take away their rank and their grandeur. Ever think about this? The first non-Palestinian convert to Christianity was an Ethiopian eunuch. He was in charge of the treasury of the Ethiopian queen. And his conversion was the beginning of Christianity in Africa. So when you think about the Bible only deals with one race, the human race. And when someone from the African continent is referred to, the history is told correctly so that you recognize that this is not some small passing figure in history, but his conversion, the beginning of Christianity in Africa. And of course, if you know something about Christian history, you'll know that many famous early Christian leaders were Africans. Think Tertullian or Cyprian, or Origen, or Cyril of Alexandria, or Augustine. Or think about the fact that Ethiopia is the oldest continually existing Christian civilization in the entire world. These are just some of the things you never hear about when racism is discussed in the public sphere in America today. When modern secular pundits talk about slavery, they predictably focus on the transatlantic slave trade that began in the 16th century and continued on into the 19th century. What is overlooked in the interest of political correctness is the Arab slave trade beginning in the 7th century with Muhammad, and that continues on in the present all around the world. The total number of Africans whose lives were destroyed in that slave trade is 100 million, perhaps much, much, much more. I was thinking about all of these things and more this weekend, thought I'd share them with you in the final segment of today's broadcast. We'll be back with more answers to your questions tomorrow. Stay tuned for that.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth and equip Christians as authentic disciples of Christ. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org, that's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI, that's 888-7000-CRI.